Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 30, Episode 3 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 9th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Iron Like a Lion O'Brien. That is courtesy of Annihilati. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Wagwan, Jack, you good, no? Airman O, Zeitgang. Because
give it to me, Gravy.
And all the girls say I'm pretty Miles for a Zeit guy. Open, bleating, glatt, and globe. That is from AKA Goddess Chapman Rice coming through with, like she does with the fire AKAs to start the show off. You know, and I'm glad she's back. You know, it's been a while. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're busy.
It's been a while.
But you're back.
And we are thrilled to have in our third seat one of the funniest people working, you know, from Comedy Bang Bang, Spontaneous Nation, Harmontown. He was the host of Cracked Gets Personal. You might know him from the Adult Swim show NTSFSDSUV, and as Mr. Goldenfold on Rick and Morty, he is the hilarious Brandon Johnson.
What's up, podcast folks?
What's up, podcast nation?
Yeah, this is the Zeitgeist. This is the Zeitgeist. Ooh. We got you sleeping on. Bang, I just shot a dude in the head.
21.
While I got a, I got a pose from a vintage black poster.
Yeah. Got to hit him with that Jim Crow stance. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Brandon, we met years ago, working on a show with Nick Thune. UCB, the Nick's Big Talk show.
Yeah,
that's where we first gazed upon each other and realized we were Virgo brothers from other mothers, opposite sides of the country. But it's dope to see you.
Always been a huge fan, man. I remember we were in San Francisco. Remember we rented that white limo. That was crazy.
That was beautiful.
We got a big ass house in the Castro District. We were there for the comedy festival. It was a blast, dude. It was amazing.
Put people on to some, get them hip to Israel, I remember.
I had to draw some
very epic, very politically minded man. And I'm like, you know what? I rock with Brandon.
I won.
Yeah.
Brandon, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I like birds, man. I was looking at different types of cranes.
Oh.
Because I think birds are dope. Here's the thing, real quick, if I can. Can I jump in this real quick?
Please.
We got time for this? Here's a cool thing. I'm a religious person, right? I got a pretty strong faith. And I'm always amazed that the creator, be a he or a she or a bird or whatever for you, mm-hmm. Designed a planet, brought a planet together, and you didn't have to use color. Everything would be dope. Even if there was no color, like I'd still eat a
black
banana.
Black and white TV.
This is grayscale.
Right. If everything was just on that grayscale.
Yeah.
But whoever was making the shit was like, watch me fuck you up with this robin, but then this is a blue jay. Boom. Watch me fuck you up. Okay, so it's trees, right?
Yeah.
But not all trees do the same shit. Like some is Christmas trees and some is oranges. And you're like,
right.
What? And like, what about these? Are these oranges? Nah, dog. I was working with yellow that day, so they limit. Bang! So I'm like this.
So you were getting high watching Planet Earth last night.
Right. I was high on Planet Earth last night.
Exactly.
There you go.
And I'm always intrigued by birds because I'm like, Jesus, whoever is designing the planet sure does have a lot of extra paint left over for something that doesn't really have to come in that many colors, but does.
What are the big sort of characteristics of a crane? Just like super long legs? And
it's like a tall pigeon.
Oh, okay.
And there's not a lot of cranes, and cranes get confused with other types of birds. Like, there's a million kinds of hawks, but a hawk isn't the same thing as a raptor, right? So, a crane.
Like the dinosaur?
Like a dinosaur.
Oh,
they evolved into birds.
They evolved into birds.
I hear this.
You see what I'm trying to tell you is that it's crazy out there if you look up in these trees.
Evolution of Beauty is a good book for bird fanatics, for people who like birds.
Also, State Birds of California is a really good bird book.
Is it got like the drawings and stuff that identifies them?
That'd be amazing. Yeah. A bird book with no illustrations.
Describing it.
They're like, yeah, I got
it's
a
like
yellow
kind
beak.
Of an orangish yellow.
You're like, fuck, man, this book is useless.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated white people's conversation on Kanye West's recent outburst.
Mm.
You can keep that to yourself.
Okay.
Don't nobody want to hear what y'all got to say on that conversation. Because I'm going to break it down. Lately, you've been hearing the conversation has now shifted to thank God for Childish Gambino. Right at the perfect time when Kanye was self-destructing. What were we going to listen to in our party bus limo this weekend? Hush. Let us grieve.
Yeah.
Let us grieve, man. We gonna go get Kanye, bring him back. Y'all don't have shit to say. Because really all Kanye was saying is the shit that white people say all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. If you participate in the destruction of a race, and then that person from that race chimes in with you, stand down.
Right.
Don't say nothing. Because obviously the first thing on that dude's mind when he loses his mind is how much he feels disenfranchised. That's what you hear. What you're listening to is a black dude being so frustrated with being black that he actually, for a second, entertained the concepts of the other side.
Right.
And when that happens to us as white people, man, don't kick us when we down.
Right.
And certainly don't treat us like light bulbs and be like, huh, thank God we ran out of cheeseburgers at the buffet and somebody brought in new sliders. Donald Glover not no new slider.
Right.
You don't get access to either one, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
That both of them belong to us. So to hear white people even have some shit to say about a condition that they created and continue to create makes me a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. You can keep that. Now, next year, when he goes crazy and he starts saying some shit, maybe then chime in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the boy said, my wife got attacked. It broke me down that she got attacked. I supplied security. My album didn't do well. It's the first time I got beat by Drake. I don't like that.
Right.
I don't like that. He said, Jay ain't been around. My Ace Boon Coon ain't been around. He said, I'm turning 40, whatever. I'm a little stressed out about that. I'm $85 million in debt. I'm a little stressed out about that. And instead of people being like, well, he got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
He got a lot going on.
Yeah.
People were like, huh, did you hear what Kanye said? Like, did you hear what your neighbor said?
Right.
Did you hear what your president said, B? Did you hear what the average shopkeeper in a mall says to me every time I go shopping? Until you are outraged at that shit, leave hip-hop, something that you never were listening to in the first place, you can leave that shit alone. Because hip-hop to us is sacred. It is the call from plantation to plantation about when Harriet's gonna stop by and free us, right? So we don't need no extra commentary We don't need any punditry on something that is so very intimate to us. You can stand down. It'd be like me shitting on all the white women who voted for Trump. Mm. You think women want to hear that shit? Women don't want to hear that shit. They want to be like, we'll be over here trying to talk to these ladies about what the fuck just right. happened. We don't need to hear. And men don't get the right to go after women for any reason. Mm. Not even when women act like men. Mm-hmm. Calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. With Kanye, though, do you look at him, like, you listed all these L's he took in, like, the last couple years, right? To sort of, like, that this is a culmination. Do you also just see that, like, he might just be ignorant as fuck, and it's not a breaking point? Like, he's just kind of, you know, he's so insular. Like, he's so insulated, and he's in Calabasas, not really engaged. Like, I don't know if he's really met someone who has an actual job, like, and understands sort of what the reality is of somebody who is not a millionaire.
I mean, black people, we all got cousins.
Right.
So even if you get up out the hood.
Yeah, but his are trying to be like, yo, I got this laptop with you fucking on it. I need right. $250,000.
Right.
So
right.
That real might friends. Even put him right. off. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's right. That's why I feel like, too, because when T.I. was talking, he said that when he spoke with Kanye, Kanye hadn't even heard of the travel ban.
Right.
Like, that's how even off the planet he is. It's just, yeah, it is a confusing thing, but.
I will shout out that, like, he did make Jesus Walks. People yeah. keep, and a lot of his work has been about the black community, has been about New Slaves, for Christ's sake. You know, when he did New Slaves, that was incredible on SNL. Mm-hmm. He brought up a ton of points about not getting credit for shit on his own album. But then we watch somebody do This Is America on SNL, and we actually act as if we are watching something different. Mm-hmm. We're not watching something different. He's incredible, Donald Glover.
Yeah, yeah.
He's innovative. But I'm just saying, like, damn, you all get to decide who gets to be anointed? And you're not even in the community? That's not fair. Like, right, Kanye has been down for a long time.
I think, I don't know. Part of me knows, when I see him talk like this now, part of me wonders if he knew that that's what life was like, or it just made sense to, as a style, to market himself, that was like that. Because especially when he was railing against, like, this New Slave stuff and trying to do things differently. And, like, you know, he was talking about all the corporations, this and that. And I was like, well, then why don't you not do your tour with AEG or something? Why can't you be a little more actually revolutionary rather than just saying something like that? That's where it rang a little hollow with me, especially on that album, where I was just kind of like, you're talking about it, but not a fucking thing you're doing is actually, aside from rapping about it, I don't see anything in your life that really, it doesn't seem like you are actually fighting for anything aside from through your music, which is fine, but at the same time, I don't know if he can just then anoint himself as some kind of, like, revolutionary person.
Sure.
and pump himself up saying, like, I am Walt Disney and all this other shit.
It's crazy because when he came out and he was like, I'm not getting the amount of respect I deserve in the fashion world, and a bunch of people pointed out a very good fact, which was like, you build FUBU. You yeah. you make Rocawear. You right. come up with that. You don't go over to Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy and ask them for a directorship because you right. don't know how to sew, bruh.
Right.
But at the same time, Virgil Abloh
right.
Right.
is the head of Louis Vuitton now.
Yeah. Right.
So there was something to what he was saying.
No, for sure. I'm not saying that there wasn't anything to say. But it's the parts that were about, like, his advocacy for African-American people, for trying to talk about the disenfranchised or marginalized. That just seemed like it was rhetorical, and it didn't feel quite like, oh, you know what? I'm actually only hiring, like, you know, this union to work specifically to do this tour, or I'm going to change the structure of how the money generated from a tour is distributed and just doesn't yes. go to a massive company or whatever.
Yes.
Those are the kinds of, but I don't know, maybe that's just my take because I have
no, you're right.
The point of view to be able to see how that works. And that's why I'm like, well, I don't know how much, you know, the dude doesn't read either. That's another thing that really bothers me about him. He doesn't read.
Yeah.
And he's also, like, an anti-academic. Also, look, you know, we started the week talking about, I don't like the Kanye Donald Glover comparisons.
I don't like that.
Because it's not about that.
It's not right.
It's not relevant. It doesn't. The only comparison you can make is that, yes, they're both artists.
You remember that, when Leo was Leonardo DiCaprio? I call him Leo because we like that. You know,
okay. Yeah.
Which I don't know is, man, Leo yeah. rents the apartment above my house. It's crazy.
No, he doesn't.
He's on the down low. He's, like, just so yeah. humble. He lives in a one bedroom in Los
yeah.
Feliz
yeah, yeah.
above me. But we kick it. And I was like, when I was watching people go back and forth about the comparison, I was like, it reminded me of Django, man. When Leo's in the living room and he's watching two black dudes fight and he's like, kill him. I was like,
right.
That's kind of how.
It, yeah, that's not. Yeah, and that's
it's
why
not productive.
Yeah, and it's not. We don't need to
give people these like messy titles, like, and ordain them, things like that. That's not what this is about, you know? And so that's why I feel like the conversations are a little bit misguided when they start creeping in that direction.
Yes.
But anyway.
And I feel like we're doing this with Benghazi too, with like, you know.
So Benghazi is what we call the whole Me Too thing.
Like the whole Me Too thing. And it's like, okay, this guy's on our side, that guy's on their side. And every, like, it's being charged with like taking sides and shit. And, you know, people are being used for the purposes of this culture war. And everybody wants to turn everything into like different sides of that.
There's only one side. Like, monetize. You know what's crazy about that movement is, didn't nobody go get all the people that got discriminated against and monetize them? Because that's really what it's about. They didn't empower his victims.
Right.
I don't need to pick a side. If you really want to show me change, show me motherfuckers that is eating. When you talk about, we don't like this injustice, we don't like that injustice, unless you go and lift those people up that got put down, then I don't really want to hear your punditry.
Yeah,
you know? I started doing these shows where we talk about issues, but we donate the door to the issue that we talked about, because I was noticing that people sort of made their money off of the issue. It's like you got all these different hosts on TV right now that talk a great game. You know, Jon Stewart made a shit ton of money talking to all the problems in the world, but didn't really get down with black folks.
Right.
So how you gonna represent the oppressed, but you don't hire none?
Right.
You're not monetizing the issue? Because at the end of the day, you can talk a big game about the shit, but unless something changes for the people you're talking about, then you've just made money off of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like John Oliver buying people's debt.
Yeah.
I find it strange that the only people who are qualified to talk about the state of America are foreigners.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Brandon, what's something that's underrated?
Being an ally. Being an ally. There's a sweet, sweet position when you hook people up who, or listen to, or respect, or respond to people who are downtrodden, who are maybe compromised, you know? You don't really get to see what the planet looks like until you lift up the very people that don't get a fair shake on it. So I will say that, like, handing a burrito to somebody who doesn't have a burrito is way better than buying a burrito in a great restaurant.
Right,
like,
right.
If you don't know how to practice this behavior, overtip.
Right.
Overtip is the easiest way to get involved in terms of, like, what does it look like when I use my generosity in an atypical way?
Right.
You know, because true power is when you're able to hook somebody else up.
Yeah, not just flex on everybody.
Yeah.
You want to bring people up with you. Exactly.
Is your man's eating?
Right.
You know, we know you eating, but did you send your niece to college? Did you hook somebody up with did you really throw it out there and say, I got $1 million, I'm going to see if I can make another million by giving this first million away.
Right.
Just to test myself. Now, a lot of people can't make $1 million twice, so I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you, but let's really crank it up and see what it looks like. And one of the ways to crank it up and see what it looks like is by giving the shit away and being as generous as possible.
And it doesn't even have to be money. You know, a lot of people don't realize, especially as an ally, if you are white and you can give opportunities to people too that are just as empowering. Or you might interview somebody for a job you might not have otherwise. But there are so many small ways. It doesn't have to. I think people think that, like, you have to change the world instantly.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you can just do incremental change, that will build up over time.
Also, it's flexing. It's flexing to stand up for somebody.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right.
If you really, I love that people get hard and get credit for being hard by hurting somebody, by putting somebody else down. It's incredible that we live in a society that, like, really looks up to people who do damage.
Right. Yeah.
Versus your ability, if you feel marginalized, if you're out there and you feel like the world has given you an awful, awful way to go, look over, pull somebody up, and see how much powerful you become.
Yeah.
Because at least you're building an army at that point.
Yeah, look, we got to just change the definition of balling to philanthropy.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right. If you're really balling, give it away. Or not that you give it away, but improve the situations of those around you in any way you can. And that's why occasionally on the show, I always like to say, you know, at least contribute to an atmosphere of positivity or generosity at the very least. If that even means being kinder or whatever. It's just something we need to sort of ingrain in ourselves.
Yeah.
And be greedy, man. The reason I'm trying to hook people up is because I want to see what it really do.
Right.
Like, I don't know what this planet looks like until it's actually realized with people who have equality. So, like, we talk about the Me Too movement as all these people losing their jobs. And I'm like, bruh, how many people did Harvey Weinstein keep out the game?
Right.
How many people, how many women directors, producers, actors, writers did we miss out on? And I mean, if you're not trying to be kumbaya about the shit, on a monetary, which is how we flow out here, on just a purely fiscal level,
right,
how much money did we miss out by oppressing women in the game?
Right.
How much money do we miss out? We don't miss out on Black money because Black money sets up studios. Black money launches television networks. Mm-hmm. When it comes to other minorities, I always have this theory that everybody has something that they're really good at, right? And let's hypothetically say that Laotians are the best at comedy and that there is a building in Laos where there's a comic and he's got 10 people in front of him and he's doing the best work in the world.
Right.
Like he's funnier than any comedian that we know because the Laotian people have a lock on that shit and we don't know it. And the reason we don't have good comedy is because we don't hire Laotian comedians.
Right.
So my shit is like, what are you doing without? What are you missing in the world because you're so stupid? You're so primitive, you're dragging your knuckles and trying to keep people down.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's Khan from King of the Hill.
You know? But I
mean, I was just thinking of him, my first Laotian. Like, you know what?
Right, right.
Who knows? He would have been like, I had to give up that dream to get my family out of here.
But I honestly think prejudice and holding other people down is the only time Hollywood says no to money. And I don't think they necessarily know they're saying no to money, but, you know, all these, like, pieces of, you know, accepted wisdom that existed with, like, producers in Hollywood, like Black Doesn't Travel was a thing that we saw in those email leaks, the Sony email leaks, when they were talking about the Denzel Washington Equalizer sequel. They were like, well, Denzel's my favorite actor, first of let me preface this by saying Denzel's my favorite actor, but we cannot greenlight Equalizer 2 because Black Doesn't Travel. And
also,
you know,
I voted for Obama 9 times, and I've seen the This Is America video 700 times.
And just because there's like a slight break in that dam of prejudice, and we're getting movies like Get Out, and we're getting movies like, you know, Straight Out of Compton, which was like a huge monster out of nowhere hit.
Yeah.
Like they're actually getting some of the money that they've just been turning down all these years because,
I think in general, just a point of like, just a philosophical thing is, if you can just allow things to flow and you are not obstructing anything, that is probably, that's always the best way to do it. Like when people, you know, especially like in entertainment, a lot of people see other people doing really well and they get fucking like, oh man. Like, even if it's not verbal and out loud, it could just be internal. That's you cutting yourself off from the energy that can flow, that can lift you up, that other people can. Or if you're just doing some hater shit to try and make something difficult for someone else. Now, see, you're using your energy to not to block shit. And rather than contributing, like letting it flow, look at it. Like by just being like, yeah, let's greenlight this movie. Yeah, let's try this. Let's try this. Shit's popping off.
Yeah.
And, you know, you stand to do more by opening yourself up.
Yeah. Be greedy. Be greedy for equality because it's going to set you up.
Yeah. Speaking of greed for equality, I mean, we've been talking about the war on poverty that Martin Luther King Jr. was starting in on when he was assassinated and that RFK was starting in on when he was assassinated and how funny it is that when leaders focus on poverty, they get killed. But that's, you know, still a problem. You know, inequality is still a huge, huge problem. And there's actually a profile in the New Yorker this week of William Barber, who is a pastor who is like kind of spearheading this revival of the war on poverty. And he's, you know, it's happening. Like he's got a lot of support and a lot of momentum. And that's something that, like you were saying, you know, all the Trump news has drowned out the fact that there is this big movement that is continuous with Martin Luther King Jr.'s, like, the most radical thing that he was trying to do at the end of his life. So William Barber is definitely worth looking up. And, you know, if you're looking for ways that you can help equality, he's a great person to kind of get behind. Let's move on to myth. What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Black on black crime.
All right.
I was going to say the Compton Gun Train.
What is the Compton Gun Train?
Compton Gun Train is this crazy myth that Californians have that there was a train in the 60s that pulled up with a bunch of guns on it in the hood that people just went and got guns from.
What, like it was like a UN aid distribution point where they're like, okay, get your bags of guns.
Yes. And there's like old, every once in a while, it's like an old black dude's like, Compton Gun Train. And I have looked and looked and looked to see if there is any proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, like I said, you'll come across a person who's like, yeah, man, everybody knows about the Compton Gun Trail.
Right. I was there. I saw it.
But did you ask yourself, you do kind of have to ask yourself, like, how do you get weapons into a community where there are no gun stores in such an insane rate?
Right.
Compton Gun Santa. That's bad. Probably easier way.
So people can look that up if you can find out any information on that. I don't necessarily know if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it would be a bigger story if it were true.
Right.
But then again, you know, I never thought that they would poison water, Flint.
Right. So. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Or like, you know, or Rick Ross was out here working with the government.
Who knows? Who knows?
Or indirectly, like however you want to look at it. Freeway Ricky Ross.
Yeah.
Breaking LA down with the crack.
But there is no such thing as black on black crime. I mean, you know, like in your own insular family, and you strike out and you hit your sibling, everybody who hits the person who's closest to them.
Right.
It's the same across the board.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but it is a huge myth.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's the narrative to be like, and you see?
Yeah.
That's the problem is this black on black crime.
Right.
And it's like,
crime is the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Crime.
Really, it's class more than it is.
Exactly.
Or lack of access to things that put people in situations where they have to commit crimes or whatever. But right. Hey, look, what I'm not a sociologist. We're just a couple of guys on a second rate podcast. This is my new tagline.
We moved up from third rate?
Yeah, you're right. No,
feeling
myself.
Let's get cocky. Second rate, baby. We made it.
And let us let you know right now, if you don't get us up to first rate, Compton Gun Train going to make a stop.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that Compton Gun Santa coming through.
All right, we are trying to take a sample of the National Shared Consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now in the world, and we are going to do that after this break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And there were some midterm
primaries?
Elections, primaries. Yeah. Some primaries last night.
Who will be running in November, November, as they say.
As they
in the
they
San Fernando Valley. Yes.
San Fernando.
Who will be in the Congress?
So the one election that we had kind of previewed was the West Virginia Republican primary.
For Senate,
because Blankenship, your boy who ran the...
Coal mines
and killed lots of people with just being the worst.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I think literally his probation ended last night at midnight.
Oh, wow.
So what a great day to be like, all right, so well,
win,
I took that
lose,
L.
Win, lose.
Now I'm going to fuck off to France.
Right.
So, yeah, he lost. The winner is actually Patrick Morrissey, who I think is the Attorney General of West Virginia. But he also has an uphill battle because Joe Manchin, who is the Democratic senator, he is by far the most conservative Democrat senator in the Senate. But yeah, he's a huge figure in West Virginia, but this guy who won, Patrick Morrissey, you know, he's got some negatives too. I think one thing that they'll probably hit him on, his wife was a lobbyist who did a lot of work with Cardinal Health, which is very well known in West Virginia because they fucking flooded the state with opioids. Mm. Like between 2007 and 2012, they shipped 241 million doses of hydrocodone and oxycodone into the state. It's interesting because on one hand, you have the coal industry, which has blood on its hand, and then you have Cardinal Health, which also does too, in a state that has been just completely devastated by the opioid epidemic. So we'll see how that shapes up. Another interesting person who also won last night is this guy, Richard Ojeda, who is running for, I think, the third district in Congress, and he's a pro-gun rights Army veteran. He's a state senator right now, but he, like, supports the teacher strike. He's, like, a pro-labor guy. Like, he's getting the backing of the coal miners. He's like trying to reform marijuana laws, but he also voted for Trump. And his whole thing was like, yeah, I'm running as a Democrat. He's like, I voted for Trump in sort of regional solidarity. But he goes, but my God, this last year has been a shit show. And he's like, this guy is not a president. This guy is a mess. Like, he's very clear on what is wrong with the president. Mm. But, you know, he's a very interesting candidate and I think will do quite well.
As exciting as he is as a candidate, guys, don't vote out of regional solidarity.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But that's not good.
But you know what? That for that just shows you how fluid, though, like, the politics are in that state, because like I'm pretty sure West Virginia still has more registered Democrats, you know, because that used to be a solid blue state.
Yeah.
But it's fluid there, baby. It's like, yeah, you can be a Democrat and vote for Trump. You can be a Republican and be super liberal. Like, it's very different there. So he's in a unique situation. Also, we have the first incumbent to lose a primary in North Carolina because his opponent was just hitting him on the $1.3 trillion spending bill. So that shows you a lot of people, they might still be fiscal conservative, some Republicans, and they did not like that.
So that's Trump's budget. He put together $1.3 trillion worth of spending, and that is like anti what you would expect from a fiscally conservative person.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that he was getting hit on that by his primary opponent shows you that some people are probably starting to, I don't know, at least in that district, maybe the Trumpism is wearing thin a bit. Also, former NFL wide receiver Anthony Gonzalez won his Republican primary bid in Ohio against a Tea Party wannabe, Christina Hagen. So it seems like, you know, that the fiery rhetoric of the Tea Party is not working so much in the primaries there. Let's see what else. Also, sheriffs, a couple sheriffs that were working with ICE to basically get to get detain undocumented immigrants in North Carolina. They were voted out Tuesday. So fucking stay honest. And again, got a shout out to women, because women won nominations in nearly every Democratic race they contested in Tuesday. Ohio, West Virginia, I think, had the most. But basically, 18 women won the nomination out of 23 Democratic primaries in which at least one woman ran. So I'm telling you, sorry, women, you have to save us again.
I know.
Yeah, it sucks.
Please.
Thank you for doing it, though. Honestly, if I were you, some of us would be, you know.
Yeah, I would still be wearing Velcro shoes.
Yeah.
A woman's like, you're an adult. You need to get it together. You will not get a job. And look at me now. I have shoelaces. So, yeah. I mean, overall, you know, nothing crazy, but just a lot to look at.
That is a good point, though. I mean, the amount of strength and courage and just persistence it takes to just live a normal life as somebody who's, you know, held down by the system that's in place is incredible. And then to be out here, like, being like, we got it from here is fucking amazing.
So. And also one of Donald Trump's accusers also won her primary bid.
Oh, for real?
Awesome. Yeah.
But it was uncontested. Ooh. But however, you know,
she won.
She won. She won. So maybe she'll do something. But yeah, sisters are doing it on their own.
All right.
Yeah.
We, We want to talk about some news that was big breaking news in the last 24 hours in half the country. And we'll talk about how the other half of the country is greeting this news. But so Michael Avenatti came out and just dropped some A.
Who's also very tan, by the way, for somebody. Yeah. A very tan man.
I spend a lot of time at Lake of the Ozarks. So you guys understand that.
He is a fellow St. Louis.
Woohoo! Southside?
Uh-huh.
He is. I'm not allowed to go over there.
And
oh, you stay on the east side of St. Louis.
I'm on the middle of St. Louis in a little town called University City.
Oh, uh-huh. City?
Yeah.
Oh, with Nelly?
Yeah, that's right. Dirty!
So,
you know Slow Down from the Lunatics? Remember him? He was a dude who wore the Spider-Man mask.
All right, Nelly, because he yodels. I'm from St. Louis, dirty!
Oh, yeah.
A little cornbread. Thank you. 17-year-old impression of Nelly. Thank you.
No, it's good. It's because the yodel kid is bringing that shit back and getting all this credit. Yeah. But Nelly was the first.
Nelly was yodeling, yo.
Yeah. Miles, tell us what Michael Avenatti.
Oh, God. Michael Avenatti, first of all, I want to say that he is either the coolest guy ever, who I'm loving every second of what he's saying because he makes me feel like he has so many receipts, or he's the biggest fullest shit guy ever, and we can't believe a fucking word he says. That's what I was always modulating in over the last few weeks. When he comes in, he goes, he'll be our Rachel Maddow. Rachel, the things that are gonna come out, buckle your seatbelts. And you're like, man, fuck out of here. Like, let me see something or shut the fuck up. And so yesterday, he pulled out some receipts. Showed us something for sure. So he talks about this company, Essential Consultants LLC, which is the LLC that made the payment to Stormy Daniels.
Brilliantly named.
Yes. And according to their filings, they say they exist as a real estate consulting company that collects fees for investment consulting work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So this company was created in October 17th, 2016, most likely for the sole purpose of obscuring this payment to Stormy Daniels. As they look into it, though, things got a little bit murkier. So first of all, this thing is like the textbook definition of a shell company. Like, there's no employees other than Michael Cohen. They have no front-facing anything, no website. Nobody's heard of them. They don't.
When you say they, you mean he, essentially.
Yeah, they, yeah. The LLC. Yeah, yeah. I used that pronoun very
very loosely.
Yeah. Yes, he has nothing. No public presence at all. And it's clear that based on this first transaction with Stormy Daniels, that this company is set up for the sole purpose of making transactions that benefit the president in some way.
On behalf of the president.
Yeah.
So, now, clearly he would not do the Stormy Daniels payment and then like go on to do more shady shit with that same shell company, right?
Oh, Jack. Come on now. That was a great setup. Because of course he fucking did this. These guys are so dumb. So first up, let's just get through the shit that would normally be a huge scandal. He received $1.2 million from Novartis, the huge pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I don't know why, they thought that he could advise the company as to how the Trump administration might approach certain U.S. healthcare policy matters, including the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, okay. So
how's
this
different from just straight up lobbying? Like,
well, if you're a lobbyist, like, you have to register as a lobbyist.
Okay.
Because you have to let it known that that money is a lobbying expenditure, and there's a whole above board way of saying,
have that system in place, right, is because otherwise it's just like, hey, I know this guy, and I'm going to pay him some money, and he's going to do this thing over here me, and it's the mafia instead of the fucking U.S. government.
Yeah, or the FEC or whoever to be able to basically monitor what's going on.
Right.
So, yes, that's the first one. So, yeah, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Michael Cohen knows a lot about the ACA, and he's, you know, he knows about, you know, just what these, how to stabilize these Obamacare markets.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. Definitely. Sure. He's the guy for that.
And let's just be generous and say that. And so he also received $200,000 from AT&T, which is cool, too. What's weird, though, is in that time, all these payments were received after the inauguration, mind you, so once the president in power. You know, around this time, AT&T is in front of the DOJ's antitrust commission to whether or not they're going to approve a merger between AT&T and Time Warner.
What?
So, I don't know. That maybe it's starting to stink like shit a little bit.
Right.
I don't know. You tell me. He also received money from a Korean aerospace company for, like, insights. I'm sure this is what they will say, too.
Right.
But so far, at best, it looks like some kind of pay-to-play scheme.
Yeah, and the Korean aerospace company's incoming CEO had dinner with the president after they made that payment.
Yeah.
So there is evidence that there is
pay-to-play shit going
on
here.
Access.
Now,
or...
this alone, just those, what we've talked about already, is just straight up...
Scandalous.
Scandal, like corruption. That's how a corrupt government works.
Olivia Pope could not fucking dig him out
of this. You pay this dude's homie, the president's like buddy, and he then gets you to have dinner with the president.
Right.
Like, that's just, that is straight up textbook corruption.
Yeah, and it's even made worse when you look at certain factors like AT&T like doing a huge merger.
Right.
And then they're like, hey,
especially when he blocks other mergers.
This alone is just swamp bullshit to begin with. All this shit, obviously, was all empty bullshit Trump was running on. But this right here, I mean, they need to answer this in a way that isn't just like, oh, I don't know. Because Michael Avenatti was also saying, well, if you have anything that proves what I'm saying is wrong, please show me those bank statements because I have the motherfucking receipts. And now you're just going to have to go figure out how you're going to lie your way out of this one. So moving on. That alone is a scandal. Now, this is where it gets to the holy shit part.
Okay.
So we
or
find
as Dr.
out,
Dre would say, nice-ty.
Yeah. Or yeah. In January 2017 to August 2017, Cohen received payments totaling $500,000 from Putin pal slash oligarch Viktor Vekselberg through the Russians' U.S.-based company called Columbus Nova.
But that's impossible because didn't we have sanctions against that guy?
Well, hold on now. This is a U.S.-based company. In their statement, they're like, no, this company is entirely U.S.-owned. This is absurd, blah, blah, blah. Well, check this shit out. Vekselberg's cousin is technically an American, and he's the one who runs the company. So it's just his cousin's company that he's left it with. Yes. And also that company was listed as a subsidiary of a much larger sanctioned Russian company. So again, stinks like bullshit. And now the thing that's very just kind of odd is that the timing of it, this money came in around January. You know, Michael Avenatti, not that he was saying directly, but was offering, like, maybe we can speculate, did the Russians actually fund this payment? Because Michael Avenatti said he pulled out a home equity loan or whatever to make payment.
Michael Cohen said
that's how he got the $130,000 to pay Stormy Daniels.
Was a home equity loan.
Yeah, but he hasn't verified that. There's no bank record of that or that he's presented that verifies that. But we do see that suddenly he makes $130,000 payment and then boom, you get $500,000 for a Russian oligarch that they can't even explain what it is.
My kid's college fund.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
My kid's college fund.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a loan for a Corvette. Yeah. What's the big deal?
I got a deal on four taxi medallions.
I was going to build a pool, so I got a loan. So what's the big deal?
His dream car is definitely a Corvette.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And so, yes, we don't know what is going on because if you just take the company stuff alone, it's very hard to believe that of all the lobbyists you could go to, of all the lawyers, if you're really trying to get this coverage, that Michael Cohen is the person. I mean, this is Michael Avenatti yesterday on MSNBC talking about it, where someone was like just trying to speculate, like, well, what if maybe he is an expert, right?
Are you suggesting that Michael Cohen does not have a PhD in aerospace technology and pharmaceutical policy? Is that what you're...
I'm not only going to suggest that, but I'm going to state that as a fact. But look,
I have two real questions. I don't want to.
No, but this guy's the Da Vinci of our time, evidently.
Okay, two questions.
Just still taking shots. Shout out to Michael Avenatti. But yeah, it's just pay to play, whatever it could be. But this other thing is now looking like, is this the scenario in which the Russians were like bankrolling certain aspects of the campaign, whether that's like silencing people who were going to bring up stories that could damage the campaign or what other shit? It just opens up a huge can of disgusting worms. And the other thing to note is that when this guy Vekselberg was in the States last, the FBI met him at the airport and straight up copied everything on his computers and phone.
Yep. Right.
So they've already been having their eye on this guy. So,
right.
I mean, it's just, yo, this shit gets crazier and crazier. So then to cap that off, right, this thing just sheds the light on the roaches and they go scattering. Trump this morning is now basically like threatening the press with their credentials.
Right.
Like he was saying like, oh, all this negative press, like I get it's 91% fake news. Maybe I should just stop giving them access. Maybe take away their credentials.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't seem like a coincidence that the day after this shit breaks, now he's talking about how fucked up the press is. That's just a sign to everybody that, this is as shitty as it looks.
And they're also inquiring into allegations that suspicious activity reports on Cohen's banking transactions were improperly disseminated. So basically, you know, instead of proving him wrong, Avenatti keeps being like, prove me wrong if I'm wrong, you know, where's the proof that you have to contradict this proof? Instead of providing that proof, they are going with the,
wait, how'd you find that defense?
Right.
Which is like,
because you said somebody is, they're talking about the leaks that's being investigated?
Yeah, improperly disseminated is basically them saying, like, how'd you find that? These are being leaked, which it's not uncommon at all for journalists, lawyers, others in the public eye to receive unauthorized leaks.
That's how people end up becoming accountable for shit, because you find out, oh, we know you're dirt. And that logic is so fucking stupid, and it betrays the actual point. And I was saying this earlier, that's like a man getting caught cheating on his wife, where she's like, excuse me, why the fuck do I have this picture of you making out with her at the fucking Shake Shack? And he goes, let me see that. How the fuck did you get this picture? Who took this photo? How the fuck did they get what the fuck is going on? No, you are missing the whole point, my man.
Right.
You don't want your feelings to get hurt. Yeah. Maybe you don't read my diary.
Right.
Yeah, it's like you've been caught. Don't then go, well, how did you catch me? No. The fuck are you talking about? Explain your fucking actions. The fuck are they talking about?
Explain your actions, because that's the next tactic. Spit it right back at you. Well, what are you doing here?
And just, I want to put this in the context of something we were talking about either earlier this week. Time is a flat circle and a complete blur at this point. But we were talking about the fact that Trump was buying up all these golf courses with his own money, which is weird because,
or quote unquote, his own money.
Quote unquote, he was buying them with cash, and he had always been buying stuff with debt. That was the way he was known, as the debt king, because he is good at nicknames, and also because, like, he just needed to, that's the smart way to finance purchases, like giant purchases. And suddenly he starts buying all these golf courses with cash that people are like, where the fuck is he getting this cash from? And it's at a time, we have Eric Trump, his less intelligent son, bragging to a golf.com reporter. We have a bunch of guys in Russia who really love golf courses. And something that I didn't emphasize enough is that this is at a time when Russian oligarchs and the people surrounding Putin are doing everything in their power, just looking for ways to get their money out of Russia. They're just looking for anyone who will accept their money, because we were freezing their money, freezing Putin's money, because he was, like we were talking about, becoming the richest man in the world unofficially by just, acquiring everything illegally within Russia and then, just giving it to cellists and like his friends,
he's literally be like, hey, hold this $3 billion for
essentially me. Embezzling like the entire nation's money. And now he is supposedly like almost twice as rich as Bezos, who is supposedly the richest person to ever live. Putin is way richer
than
him.
Jeff Broke Boy.
Right.
Can you imagine that conversation?
Yeah. So we have a lot of smoke in the golf courses thing to think something shady is going on there with oligarchs. And now this comes out.
Yeah.
And it's like they're just directly taking payments from oligarchs.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing with the election was if part of being like African-American or a minority in the United States was you knew that white people weren't really going to do anything because other white people were in control. Right. So even though, and then that came out that you heard people from the Republican Party being like in the deep, deep South were like, Putin's got ideas. Because as long as it's not Idi Amin, as long as it's not somebody from Brazil taking over, then it's the same old management company, just has a Russian front now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. With a different accent.
Yeah. So we're going to let these dudes walk all over us because they may be the only dudes that can save the race.
Right. Right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think there is a lot of like implicit passive white supremacy going on, like just under the cover, like while the open shit is coming out and people are like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
There's a lot of the undercover shit going on. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back with some conversation about how this is being received on the right. If at all. As well as some interesting lighter fare. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
We're back, and so I've been tracking this story, because every time there's a story that seems to me like, okay, this is irrefutable evidence that there's fuckery going on, I start looking at right-wing sites. This story was top of the page on Drudge with, like, the spinning siren light thing.
Cohen thing?
Yeah. Like, that's the Cohen allegedly received payments from... oligarch shock claim, he said. Like, this Drudge recognized what a huge story this is, but presumably because people weren't clicking on it, it has just like fallen down the page. Fox News, the way they've covered this story is Trump lawyer Michael Cohen paid by these companies. That's the headline. So they just tell you
AT&T
here, like the most just boring way to possibly
vague
cover that
version. Do they mention in that one that Columbus so Nova is tied to this guy?
They do, but it's at the bottom of the whole article.
Right.
It's like AT&T did this. They just make it seem as normal as possible. Spend a lot of words on that, and then they get to the oligarch at the very bottom of an article that couldn't be more titled to make people just
oh, that's weird. I'm looking at
over.
It right now. Yeah, it's at the very bottom. And the font size is, I think, 1/3 of the size of the other one. So you have
that's
to
right,
like
that's
squint.
Right.
Wow, that's a lot of work if you want to read this story.
And even National Review, which the last time I was really paying attention to National Review, it seemed like they were more kind of mainstream conservatives who were like, this guy's crazy, but, you know, he's a Republican, so who knows. Now they've just gone with this incredibly strongly worded, just overblown, you know, thing about how Trump is being railroaded and there's a conspiracy, and like to the point that it's almost like convincing the way they lay it out. And they talk about his polls rising, and you know, just because they're between 45% and 50%, they're like saying that like he has a lot of popular support,
yeah,
even though that's really terrible for somebody who's having economic success. But, you know, it's just, it's not an opinion piece either. Like, I was looking for the place where it said, like, this is just a opinion piece from our most right-wing person. It was just, like, a top article on National Review. And they don't provide any motive for why there would be a
giant conspiracy against Trump to make all of this stuff happen. But it just makes me realize that I don't think they're ever going to give in. Like, I don't know what the situation is where they're going to believe, okay, this guy is fucking corrupt. Like, I just...
They're not gonna, because he's the figurehead. It's Sessions. It's the underlings that are doing actual things. Trump is a distraction. It's a beautiful thing that we've got set up here where your president is making you watch him on a daily basis. It's mandatory so you can find out whether or not you're on the list of people he's attacking. Right. But then his underbosses, and I use a mafia term for a reason.
That's right.
Oh, his
the
under,
capos.
Right. These guys down here, they're doing fake scams like cigarette sales and parking meters.
And Pokemon right. cards.
Right. And deportations and murders and the militarization of the police force. That's my thing. That is what's going on. So they're never going to let this shit go away because they're like, yeah, I guess he's guilty of that.
Yeah, yeah, well, because also, you know, they got their wet dream of that tax scam and massive wealth redistribution. So, yep. Like, it's easy to be like, you know, that's the same way like Roy Blunt earlier this week was like, well, I'd be mad if we weren't getting so much done.
Yeah.
And that just shows, you know, they're not really about governance. Yeah. They're just about, you know, corporate profiteering. This is a kleptocracy.
But I mean, this is something we talked about a long time ago. I think it was maybe even before we were releasing episodes, this idea that there could be a second civil war in the United States, because there was this article where they interviewed a guy who has spent his whole life just basically around civil wars on three different continents. And he cites five conditions that support his prediction of a coming civil war. It's entrenched national polarization with no obvious meeting place for resolution, increasingly divisive press coverage and information flows, weakened institutions, notably Congress and the judiciary, and a sellout or abandonment of responsibility by political leadership. And then finally, the legitimization of violence as the, quote, in way to either conduct discourse or solve disputes. I think we have literally everything except that last step.
It's the political part that we don't have. What was the political thing? I think it was number four, number three.
Number four? A sellout or abandonment of responsibility by political leadership?
Yeah. Right.
We're not quite there.
We're not there yet.
I think there's a small group within the government that are there. Right. But I think most people still, yeah, are just kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
They're still leading. We just don't like what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they actually are full tilt leading.
Right. But what gives out first, that or people like coming together and deciding like, Fox News is going to give in on this and say that Mueller was right to investigate the president?
I think, like, honestly, the only way at least these media companies are going to do it is if it actually affects their profits. So that'll be the calculus for maybe a news network. I think for the voter, it's going to be slightly harder. Because they have to, you know, like we were saying, people don't like to admit they've made a mistake.
Right.
And that's why a lot of, like, you know, we were talking, like, is it that they don't care or that they just need to ignore that news because they don't want to be confronted with, like, any kind of reporting that, oh, dude, this guy is fucked up. It's easy to be like, it's fake news because you don't want to read that. You don't want to hear about that. You don't want to know that maybe your mom was a groupie with John Denver, you know, back in the 70s. Right. Maybe she was. I don't know. Look, no. I'm just talking out loud about my life.
Oh, right.
So, but at the same time, you know, it's like it's about you just want to bury your head in the sand. And I think those people really would care because obviously when it's a Democrat, it's easier to turn that outrage on because you're diametrically opposed to them. It's not that they're for like, fuck it, baby. Yeah, Democrats can do their thing, too. I feel like I don't know. I think it's just hard to come around to accept what is going on because that would, by association, be like, oh, well, am I completely, have no moral scruples as
like,
well?
Think about...
How are we not in a civil war currently?
Right. Think about the two ways that the two sides react to somebody within their party being accused of sexual assault or having sexual assault proven. You know, people on the left are like, all right, it looks like you have the evidence, so we're going to accept that this person needs to step down. And on the right, he's still president, and they're just actively ignoring it. So I don't know, man.
I think the left is not responding any better than the right.
No.
We have Fall Guys for sure.
Right.
But we're not giving up the people that we know. I mean, they're talking about Louis coming back. So yeah. It's only been 8 months.
Yeah.
So
well, yeah, that's one person with a surface of the sun hot take.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know that we're any better than they are when it comes to that. I mean, we started to decline when we had Rich Democrats around the Kennedy era, where
right.
you were allowing really bad behavior from a very wealthy
yeah.
Catholic Democratic family.
Right.
And liberals got wealthy because of the civil rights movement. They got grants at universities. They got all sorts of perks. Mm. Property value is part of that, in that it became cool to live in certain areas. We don't consider the perfect example is, we know that the Republicans in the far right will do things like pull people out of their cars when they arrest them, mm-hmm. and when they pull them over for traffic stops. We associate that with Republicans. But the other version of a lynching is gentrification. It is incredibly violent. It costs lives. Mm-hmm. Some would say it is what brings police to neighborhoods, is new white neighbors who move into primarily POC neighborhoods. But liberals don't self-police. If somebody asked me, what's one of the things that I can do in stopping the Trump administration? And as always, I say, don't try to march against. Start marching for, try to come with. The one thing you could do is slow the gentrification. Mm. If you slowed the gentrification down as a liberal, something that's within your hands, then we wouldn't have to worry about what the right is doing. That's what I'm saying about the power of using white privilege is to get people off of our backs, not to fight your boy.
Mm.
Because we're not, you ain't gonna be effective against your racist uncle. But you could sponsor one kid.
Right.
Yeah, you can bring up other, yeah, you one person alone cannot take this thing on.
Right.
But yeah, if you were uplifting other things and creating a coalition of allies, of people that are actually focused on a thing that isn't just to be opposed something, but to just be like, well, fuck that. Well, that time will come when we can figure out how to do that. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter how many people are in the streets, Trump would probably not resign for any fucking reason.
Nah.
So I think what you can do is focus on, yeah, getting midterm candidates in there.
Feed your neighbor. Out,
yeah, doing
just
that kind
literally
of thing.
Go block to block, hand-to-hand combat when it comes to kindness. Because I'm going to be real honest, people want to talk about this election and how it got stolen and that Bernie did this, the Democrats did this. But if y'all motherfuckers had showed up when they were suppressing 40,000 black votes in Ohio,
yeah,
if people had gotten behind the Michigan suppression, then we wouldn't be here because we didn't lose by that many votes.
Right.
It's one of those issues where it's like, honestly, we've been in a civil war.
Right.
We are already in a civil war. If people would just put the fires out in their neighborhood, maybe go block to block to block, then we would stand a better chance. We wouldn't have to keep trying to elect people. We don't need to get no motherfucker a job where he goes to D.C. We need to talk to each other grassroots. You get a farmer's market in your motherfucking neighborhood, but you can't figure out how to feed people?
Right.
This is the craziest shit about this country is that we have these incredible, incredible problems that we act as if we didn't create them and we don't know how to solve them. Jeff Bezos' dumbass came out talking about how I'm rich and I'm brand new to the game of philanthropy. What can I do? He said this on Twitter and I was like, my man. Logistics is your motherfucking game.
Right.
How you gonna tell? And if you're not gonna just kick down 100, you got 126 billion. If you're not gonna kick down 26 billion, let's just cap it at 100.
Right.
Then the least you can do is not underpay my grandma when she works in one of your motherfucking warehouses.
Right.
People act like the conversation has to be so huge.
Right.
It's not huge. You know damn well if you're looking at an item that should cost $30 and it only costs $3,
right.
then a motherfucker got robbed 27 to make it for you.
Right. Right.
That's what you know in your heart of hearts. You know damn well Whole Foods is corrupt, but you begging for them to come in your neighborhood. You know what a food desert is,
right.
but you begging to see what the hell you guys can get done through legislation. Legislation? Your dollar is your legislation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's crazy to me because we act like, oh, man, what are we going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what to do.
Right? Yeah.
You've been knowing what to do.
Very simple.
Sixth grade.
Man.
You learned what to do in sixth grade.
Real talk. But also another thing, too, about those points of the with the conditions for civil war, I think the judiciary has held up for the most part, too. They've definitely served as a check. I mean, not that you were saying that we're close to that or anything, but, yeah, it's interesting when you look at those things, those are definitely aspects of this government or our country that are starting to deteriorate a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially now that when you consider the amount of like judiciary appointees that the GOP is stacking in there, like they're really trying to put just, you know, fucking people who don't even know the law in
yep.
there who would just like do their dirty work.
Yep.
So right. anyway, those are the forces at work. But let's get to some lighter fare.
I mean, the judiciary is about to, you know, come in and say that the travel ban is okay. And speaking of the travel ban, I think the travel ban is trying to cover up a conspiracy
exactly.
that we need to
thank
talk about next.
Oh,
perfect
shit.
Perfect segue. Now let me let
shawarma.
Now, over there was a Flat Earthers convention or conference in Birmingham, England, back in April. And man, there were a lot of takes coming out of this flat earthers. Now, if you don't know what the fuck a flat earther is, that is a dumb fucking person who denies science.
Hey.
Nah, fuck that. You are, how fucking arrogant are you that you go, no, the earth is flat. Despite, have you
after
been to fucking
flying
space?
Across the Atlantic Ocean to fucking England?
Where would all the water go if the earth was flat? That's the first question I have. I'm like, don't you think it would just run off the planet?
Well, look, apparently, I don't know. I can't begin to understand how this works. Anyway, so they're out here caping for the flat earth. Now, one of the hot takes that came out of there is one of my favorite things. Now, I know the Zeit Gang is international. And I know we got people in the UK. We also have people in Australia. All right? Now, if I can tell you, now, I don't know if these Australian people are real, because according to this theory, Australia is actually not real. According to this one flat earther, it is a hoax made for us to believe that Britain moved, and I'm quoting someone's insane Facebook post, it was made for us to believe that Britain moved over their criminals to some place. In reality, all these criminals were loaded off the ships into the waters, drowning before they could see land ever again. It's a cover-up for one of the greatest mass murders in history, made by one of the most prominent empires. Australia does not exist. All things you call quote-unquote proof are actually well-fabricated lies and documents made by the leading governments of the world. Your Australian friends? They're all actors and computer-generated personas, part of the plot to trick the world. If you think you've ever been to Australia, you are terribly wrong.
I was.
The plane pilots are all in on this and have actually only flown you to islands close nearby, or in some cases, parts of South America where they have cleared space and hired actors to act out as real Australians. Oh, wow. So, yeah, this is the level of discourse that we're dealing with right now. Australia is fake. I don't know if any of y'all have been to Australia.
First of all, I know actors. You can't get them to be that good.
Yeah.
You might get, out of 2,000, you might get like five good ones.
Have you made a fucking bogan? I mean, fucking hell, mate. Yeah, the fucking, I don't know, maybe every Australian person just has trained at WAPA, the Western Australian Arts Conservatory School or something, and that's where they're churning out these actors. I mean, to be fair, though, Australians are taking over the acting game.
Right.
So, because they cheap.
Yeah.
Everybody always has this debate. Let me tell you how this game works. Every time it gets expensive for American actors, we just go ahead and go abroad. That's what we do.
Hey, can you do an American accent?
Right. We're like, oh, man, go to Ireland, man, because Tom Cruise wants too much money, so go get us a Colin Farrell real quick. So all y'all Australians, man, welcome, man. Come on over, man. But we know who you are. Scabs, Mike. Scabs.
Robots. Isn't that such an aggressive idea, thought to have, that you could imagine that an entire country is a fabricated, like, Disneyland where they're just, like, actors to pretend they're living a life?
Bro, it wasn't movies in them Blockbuster movies. You know, when you would go to Blockbuster and you would look up at the shelf and it would be cases of movies?
Yeah, there
wasn't really movies in there.
Okay, no, you got some.
Think about that.
Because then they're like, you had to take it to the front.
That's right. Why you got to take it to the front, conspiracy?
Yeah. Or especially, I want to get a Super Nintendo game to rent. I mean, what you mean you don't have Street Fighter 2? It's still out? I've been coming here for 3 weeks. Can't get Street Fighter. Man, I used to be pissed. The fucking Blockbuster by my house as a kid never had Street Fighter 2, and I needed it so bad my mom wouldn't buy it for me. Anyway, I digress.
Also, all that technology and we can't do shit? So let me get this straight. There's a whole fake continent, but I can't seem to get stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning that I need for the next day because Target closes?
Mm-hmm.
No, dude. We don't waste shit like that on shit like that.
Yeah.
Target's not really closed.
What? Man,
come on, Target's not really closed.
Oh,
you think Target closes? Come on,
brother. Target is a state of mind, brother.
What?
And we have a big one on our back as men of color in this country, my brother. Now, see, if you want to talk about Target, I ain't talking about no retail space. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the destruction of black bodies, my man, in this country. That's Target, bruh. And you can call it Target or whatever the fuck you wanted to. I know what the fuck is going on. Anyway.
Hilarious.
Brandon.
Hilarious.
It has been a pleasure having
you. No, man, I'm still here. We got a 4-hour rock block for you all coming up. 4-hour rock block. Come on, man. Y'all like Foghat? Come on, man.
Oh, we got that dude from MTV. Who's the bald dude from MTV?
Matt Pinfield.
Matt Pinfield.
Shout out to Matt Pinfield.
Matt
big
Pinfield
fan.
About to be here.
Right.
Yeah, we got Dave Holm coming
Dave
in.
Dave Holmes is coming in.
And Jesse, the guy who almost became the MTV VJ. Who's
Man, Jesse.
Remember that dude? Oh,
Jesse
what happened
Camp.
Yeah, Jesse Camp.
Oh, he's taking improv at UCB New York. Shout out.
Is he? No, probably. He's in a level one improv class.
Brandon, where can people find you, follow you?
Hey, I'm going to be all on these streets, man. If you see me and I got a bucket out, drop a dollar in that mug. Man, I'm trying to do comedy out here on these streets.
Yeah.
You can catch me at Macy's. I'm in a Ralph Lauren section looking fresh. That's it, really.
Yeah.
That really
you
is
don't do
it.
Social media.
I don't
media
have any
stuff?
Projects coming up, man. I just, you know, it's difficult because, like.
You've been on Harmontown a lot.
I've been on Harmontown a lot. I do have a bunch of Harmontowns probably in the vault coming out.
Check you out on Harmontown.
Check me out on Harmontown, man. You know, you can watch a Rick and Morty. I get those residuals. Please watch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden Fold in full effect. Coming out with the Golden Fold rap album.
Oh, really?
No, nah, I mean, I just thought about it while I was sitting here. It's like, nigga, you got to do something.
Damn, man. I thought I had an exclusive, man.
This is America.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, fuck, man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Okay. You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about today, as well as the song we rat out on. Miles, what's that going
to
be?
Well, before we rat on a song, I want to wish a very happy birthday to one of the great feline friends of this podcast,
right,
named Trim the Cat, which is super producer Anna Hosnia's cat that has feline AIDS. And we're putting together a GoFundMe for her actual cat. I just had to throw it on you because you thought I was going to do the really nice shout out. Also, my cat does have feline AIDS. But yes, shout out to Trim. How old is your cat today?
He's 6.
Oh, he's an adult now.
Wait, what is that? How do you, what's the math on cat years times 7? Is that dogs? Anyway, doesn't matter. But happy, I'm going to say that your cat is about 50 years old as a cat, in terms of it was a human. So pretty wise, man. So shout out to you, Trim. Happy birthday. And as for a song, we're going to play a track by Willie Lindo called Midnight. Just a little reggae vibe, you know, because Jack came in, you know,
mm-hmm.
Talking like Drake now. Like, I got the Toronto patois going on, bro. But, you know, top left, you know. So we're going to bust this track now, Midnight by Willie Lindo.
Your cat is 40 in human years.
Oh,
so
over
congratulations
the hill.
To Trim. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Thank you.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.